Hi friends, welcome back to another episode of Midwest Madness, your true crime cult conspiracy encrypted podcast. I'm Emily.
And I'm Danielle.
And it is November.
It is November. Happy birthday month / Scorpio season.
Scorpio season. Yay, yay. It's a great time of year.
I mean, for some people.
I do love November. Because it's not too cold yet, but it's starting to get cold.
I'm interested to see what November's going to bring this year, because it's been such a weird... I mean, for example, on, Tuesday, it was like 78 degrees. And then on Halloween, we at our parents' house got like 2.5 inches of the wettest snow I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I'll be curious too.
So I'm just very curious what kind of November we're going to have.
Okay, I have to tell you a quick story before we get into my episode.
Yeah.
Because I think you'll find it funny.
Oh boy.
So I have a friend who was trying to find this guy because she was pretty sure he was using a fake name. And when she looked at the number, it was like Googled the phone number he gave her.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a fake number.
God.
But all she had was pictures.
Yeah.
So she sent them to me and she's like, just talking about how she couldn't find this man, right? And I was like, okay, give me an hour.
Oh my God.
So I had two photos of the man. One, he had his face in, but he was wearing like big sunglasses and he kind of was like making a weird face. And then the other, literally, it was like basically just like a body shot.
Yeah.
And like his head was down, so you couldn't see his face, right?
Okay.
So what I did.
Did Super Spy Emily find this dude?
Oh my God, she sure did.
Oh my God, yes! I need your
first photo. He's wearing a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So I zoom in on the t-shirt and I'm like, what does the t-shirt say? Because I'm trying to find like...
And it's, is it like University of
something? No, it was like... Or,
okay.
I don't want to say it because
triangulate him.
Yes,
or something.
It will.
Okay. Make something.
Yes. I'm trying to think of something that would be like equivalent. It would be like... I don't know, like a some kind of running club or something.
Okay.
And so I zoom in on that. And I'm like, okay, that's like unique enough that I should be able to find
like
this company, right? So I like Google the company. I find the company, and this website. It's a they do like adventure kind of things.
Okay.
So I like I'm scrolling through this website.
Yeah.
And they have YouTube videos from like their adventures that they do. So I go back to the photos, and the second photo I'm like looking, and the one with he's just doesn't have a shirt on, but he has pants on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, he looks like he's wearing a rock climbing harness. So I'm scrolling through this website. Sure enough, rock climbing trip from 2019. There's a YouTube video. So I click on the YouTube video. And I'm searching through the... And
from 2019?
Yeah. So I'm watching the YouTube video. It's like 11 minutes long, right? And again, remember, I can't really tell what his face looks like.
Right.
So I'm just kind of looking... And he's pretty, like... Generic white man, yes. Okay. And so I'm like searching through, trying to find... And then I'm like, okay. I'm like comparing his pants. Literally, I could see, you can see like the boxers in the photo. And I'm like comparing the boxers. So I find the man in the YouTube video. I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is this guy.
Okay.
But again, like it's a YouTube video. I still don't know who he is. I just know I've found him, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Pop on over to the company's Instagram page. Scroll back to 2019.
Oh my God. Are you
find the rock climbing trip.
You missed your calling.
There's
you
should have been one a PI, photo. So of this rock climbing trip. Nobody's tagged, right?
Right.
Go to the likes. Scroll through the likes. Find someone who looks like him. Click on the profile. It's a public profile, thank God. Halfway down his feed is the first photo. And I'm like, sent it to her. Took me 20 minutes. I was like, found him.
Oh my God. And half of that was watching an 11-minute long YouTube video.
And I was like...
Oh my God.
I was like, do you think these like guys out here who try to like hide their identity know that like girls are fucking crazy? No, I'm not crazy. That's not crazy.
No,
but
it's not. And girls are fucking like, ingenious, honestly.
And it was like a thing, like I had to do it. not to get like too much into it, but it was like a safety thing. So right. I was like, I need to find this person.
Right. Because like you want to make sure you know who you're going to be going on a date with.
Right. Yeah. So literally I was like, this guy probably thought he was so smooth trying to cover his tracks, blah, 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 blah. Turns out he is in a relationship, probably why he was trying to cover his tracks so well.
Oh, what a dick.
Yeah. It's like, it's so funny to me because they probably think they're being so fucking sneaky.
Yeah.
And then it took me out here. I'm out here 20 minutes. Took me to find you.
Oh my God.
Off of one t-shirt.
Oh my God.
So that's my funny story.
So if any shitty men listen to us, first of all, stop. And secondly, Emily will find you.
And if any women out there who listen to this are like needing to find somebody, send them my way.
Please do. And let me tell you, send them my way so that I can practice.
The euphoria that flowed through my body. Oh,
it was like such a dopamine hit.
High I've ever felt in my life. It's like, I thought about it for like 2 days after. I was like, oh my God, I'm okay. So fucking proud of myself.
So you know that I'm on Bumble, right?
Yeah.
So in September, I went on a date, one single date with this guy. And I like kind of did that, but less impressive. But
send him my way.
I found him. I did it on my own.
Have you found, like, there was another guy. I found his address. I found his place of work. I found his income. I found, like, I can get into it.
Oh my God.
And this is all the free sites, too. I'm not paying for any of these.
That's amazing. With mine, it was just like, I wanted to, he had pictures of kids in his thing, but it didn't say that he had kids. And so I was like, are these your kids? Because, like, not that I care, because I like kids, but I like to know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, we're going to just reverse search and see if these are his kids. And I found out, and they were his kids. Yeah. So
I did try reverse searching the images first, and nothing popped up, which is interesting, because I did find the image on his public Instagram. But, yeah, there we go.
That is crazy. Girl, I love that.
So if anyone needs my skills, please let me know. I would love to do it for you. It was very fun for me.
And also, if you get any of those, Emily, send them to me too so I can practice.
Okay.
Because I want to get better at it.
I should start like a side gig PI business.
Oh my God. A side hustle.
Yeah.
What would you got to think of a name for it. Well,
Emily's side hustle PI business.
That's not.
Not cool enough?
No.
All right. I'll think about it. Okay. Let's get into my story.
If you want to be really stealthy about it, you could be Emily's pie.
That's funny. Okay. So this week I'm going back to my roots, as in missing people.
I was gonna say stories. I unsolved a missing person.
Yes.
Hey.
And I did two stories. The first one's got a good amount of information, and then the second one's pretty short.
Okay.
Because I thought both of them were gonna be pretty short, so I was planning to do two, and then I ended up finding more information.
Oh, nice.
On the first one, so it ended up working out. But okay. So my first story I'm going to tell today comes to us from Missouri. Branson Perry, which is a cute name, by the way, I think, was born on February 24th, 1981 in Skidmore, Missouri, where he was also raised. He graduated from Nottoway Holt High School in 1999. Instead of going off to college, Branson stuck around and began working some odd jobs, such as a roofer and helping with a traveling petting zoo that was in the area.
Cute.
His parents were recently divorced, and he had chosen to live with his dad. Branson was a homosexual, and his father was aware of this. He seemed to be fine with it. No qualms.
Love that.
Yes. Especially in the 1980s.
Cause yeah, no really kidding.
On Wednesday, April 11th, 2001, Branson invited, I guess this was like the 90s, but I digress. Branson invited his friend Jenna over to help him clean the house that he was living in with his father, because his dad, Bob Perry, had been in the hospital and was due to return home. So he just wanted to make sure the house was clean before he got home. Now, I do want to note really fast. One source had Jenna as male, and the other had Jenna as female. The source that had Jenna as female came from like the Finding Branson Perry website.
Okay.
I'm going with that. She is a female. And with a name like Jenna, I would assume.
Yeah.
Female anyway, but
that would be different for sure.
Yeah. That afternoon, there's also two unidentified men working in the front driveway of the home, because Bob's car needed a new alternator. So they were working in the driveway. Jenna and Branson were cleaning the house. Around 3 p.m., Branson told his friend Jenna he was going to take a pair of jumper cables outside to a shed that was next to the house, and this was the last time that Branson has ever been seen.
What?
After a while, Branson still hadn't returned, so Jenna went out and asked the men in the front if they had seen him, which they replied they hadn't. So I'm assuming Jenna must have assumed that maybe Branson had left to go somewhere, maybe meet someone, go to a store, whatever, didn't tell her. So she left at that point and went home herself. So she must have not been too concerned about it.
I don't know. Different people.
Different times, too, yeah. Also, you know.
I don't know how you wouldn't be concerned about that.
Yeah. I did read in a public... Again, a source did say that she might have been... They might have been dabbling in some marijuana at the time.
Hmm.
But...
So just kind of, like, inhibited...
Yeah.
Reasonings and...
But, also, that was only one source, so I'm not 100% sure if that's true or not. So...
Not the devil's lettuce.
Yeah, how dare.
Oh, no.
Now, Jenna has never spoken publicly about this because she doesn't want to say anything in case she ever has to testify one day in court.
Smart.
Yes, but according to Becky Kleino, who is Branson's mother, she has talked to Jenna, and here's what she wrote on the Bring Branson Home websites in January of 2007. So this is going to be a direct quote from her... from the Bring Branson Home website.
Okay.
So, quote, at one point, Jenna saw Branson run into the kitchen and take something out of one of the cabinets, then run out the back door. Kleino's post continued. When he returned, she said he wouldn't tell her what he was doing and acted like nothing happened. Later, she said she had taken a shower, and when she came out of the bathroom, she saw one of the men that was working on the car going through the cabinets in the kitchen. She said she asked him what he was looking for, and he told her nothing and went back outside. Then at approximately 3 p.m., she had just been upstairs when she heard the front porch door shut. She looked out the window and saw Branson. She asked him where he was going, and he told her he was going to put the jumper cables in the storage shed and would be right back. She never saw him again. The men that had been working on the car claimed to have never seen him. No one saw him, period, unquote.
So, did they know who these guys were, or were they just hired workers?
They seem like they're just hired workers.
Okay. That's kind of how it was feeling to me, too, but I just wanted to be clear. But
also, if this is true, it seems like maybe Branson knew one of them, if
he was in the house.
In the house, going through the cabinets that Branson had just put something in.
Right.
So, it sounds like maybe Branson had been acting a little bit out of the norm that day, but nothing apparently too concerning. So the next day, April 12th, Branson's grandma, Joanne, stopped by the house and found that it was unlocked and was deserted. She obviously found this very odd, so she began periodically calling the home over the next several days, never getting an answer. Joanne also called Branson's mom, Becky, to see if she had heard from Branson at all, but she found that he had not spoken to him either. Branson's father ended up being discharged from the hospital several days later than originally planned. And after his release, him and Becky finally filed a missing persons report on April 17th. So he was last seen on April 11th. He was reported missing on April 17th.
Oh, that's a really long time.
The Nottoway County Police organized ground search parties within a 15-mile radius of the Perry home. They searched farms, fields, and abandoned buildings, but nothing was ever found. During a search of the property, police were also unable to locate the jumper cables that Branson had said he was taking out to the shed. 2 weeks later, however, the jumper cables were found just inside of the shed door. That's weird, right?
Super weird.
Because, I mean, obviously, wouldn't that be, like, the first thing you looked for if you're, like, if someone was, like, yeah, he went out to the shed to put in jumper cables and then I never heard from him again?
Right.
My first thing would be, like, okay, let's go see if the jumper cables were there.
Right.
So I'm assuming they wouldn't have just missed them.
Right. Or even just like, okay, let's go check in the shed to see if there's anything weird happening in the shed. Like, maybe he passed out in the shed, like, behind something and nobody saw him. Or, you know, like, you would just go into the shed and look around.
Yeah. In the month and a half following Branson's disappearance, police interviewed over 100 people. Of course, Jenna was someone that they really wanted to talk to, as she was the last person to be with Branson before he disappeared. But Jenna's story always stayed consistent. It was sort of known that Branson had been experimenting with drugs, had a bottle of Valium in his possession that day, the day he went missing. And investigators questioned drug acquaintances of Branson's, but all of them stated that they had not seen him, and all of them agreed to and passed polygraph tests. Polygraph.
I mean, take it with a grain of salt, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's easier to fail a polygraph when you're being truthful than it is to trick a polygraph into being truthful. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, I feel like it's harder to... Yes. If you're actually lying, it's harder to...
Harder to trick it and make it believe that you're telling the truth than it is for it false.
Yeah, for you to negative. Be telling the truth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's... In my... Yeah. I don't know if that's true, but in my mind, that's...
Because it doesn't read if you're telling the truth. It reads your stress.
Yeah.
So if you're stressed out about something...
Like taking a polygraph.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we could talk about that forever.
We honestly really could.
Even though it was rumored that Branson may have owed some people money for drugs, none of these leads ever panned out either. Branson's dad, Bob, initially thought that maybe Branson left to stay with friends he had in Kansas City, and because he didn't have a working car, he thought that maybe he hitchhiked his way there. All of Branson's belongings, most notably his wallet, were left behind in the home, and it didn't take long for this case to turn cold, unfortunately. On April 10th, 2003, so two years later,
okay,
police arrested a man named Jack Wayne Rogers, who was all sorts of fucked up. Sometimes I reread what I wrote, and I'm like, this is funny. Jack was a 59-year-old Presbyterian minister and Boy Scout leader. He was arrested on charges of first-degree assault and practicing medicine without a license after performing a makeshift gender reassignment surgery in a hotel in California.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No. While going through Rogers' personal belongings, detectives found child pornography on his computer, as well as evidence of various posts across messaging boards describing the graphic torture and assault of multiple men.
Oh, so he real bad.
One of these posts described Jack picking up a blonde male hitchhiker, then sexually assaulting, torturing, mutilating, and murdering him.
Ugh.
It then claimed that the man's body was buried in the remote Ozarks somewhere. This post made police think that the man could have been Branson, but Jack denied this and claimed that the posts were, quote, purely fictional and all fantasy, end quote. Which is still crazy, but...
Do you buy it?
No.
I don't either.
While doing a search of Jack's property, a turtle claw necklace resembling one that Branson did own was found in one of the vehicles that Jack owned. Jack was adamant, however, he had nothing to do with Branson's disappearance. In April of 2004, Jack was convicted and sentenced to 17 years in prison for assault and 7 years for performing the illegal surgery. He was also sentenced to 30 years for the child pornography to be served concurrent with the former two charges.
Did you almost edit yourself on pornography because of TikTok?
No.
Oh, it sounded like you were going to say corn.
Pornography.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, has somebody been watching too many TikTok?
No. At his sentencing, Becky begged Jack to... Oh, also, I believe this Jack guy is due to get out of prison in like 2 to 4 years.
I was going
to
ask.
It was like 26 or 28, I think it was.
Okay.
But he's going to be like 85 or something, which just doesn't make me feel any better.
Damage.
Yeah. It doesn't make me feel any better.
Because it makes it almost easier to victimize people when you're that old.
At his sentencing, Becky begged Jack to reveal Branson's whereabouts, but again, he denied being involved. Becky, however, no longer believes Jack is involved and thinks the search should be focused more in like in the Skidmore area itself versus looking elsewhere. So she no longer believes that he is involved in this at all.
I wonder what made her change her mind.
When I read the, one of my sources has a quote about it, and she just feels like it's too, like the details aren't, it's too vague. Like, there's not enough specific detail to make her believe one way or the other.
So it's too circumstantial.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Bob Perry passed away in 2004. So just 3 years after Branson disappeared.
And right after Jack was convicted.
Yep. In June of 2009, law enforcement revealed that they were completing an excavation of a site in Quitman, Missouri, after receiving a credible tip that Branson's remains were buried there. Over a period of 2 days, a 23-foot deep and 20-foot wide hole was dug, which is a huge hole, but nothing was ever found.
That's like the size of a small house.
Literally. In 2010, Becky offered a $20,000 reward for information leading to her son's whereabouts, but this didn't bring up anything either. In 2011, Becky died after a years-long battle with melanoma. In her obituary, it was noted that she was preceded to death by her son, and she is buried next to an empty plot for Branson that lists his date of death as April 11th, 2001, which was the day he disappeared. In August of 2022, Nawadeh County Sheriff Rand Strong said that they have found a suspect in the case. However, there isn't enough evidence to make an arrest. They say that Branson's case is still very much open and active, and that they will never let his name die, which is very, it's refreshing to hear.
Yeah.
Because that's not always the case. So there is the first story of Branson Perry.
Okay.
And next we're going to move to Wisconsin. So.
Ooh.
On November 8th, 2004, Maggie Moltovich hadn't heard from her son Amos Mortier in days. This was unusual for the two, who were in regular contact. Amos, who was 27 at the time, had moved a few months earlier out of his house that he shared with his mom to his own place in Fitchburg, in the Fitchburg, Wisconsin area. He was planning to start attending Madison Area Technical College. Margie wasn't the only person who was concerned about Amos's whereabouts, though. His friends hadn't heard from him in a while either, and they were also concerned. And they were concerned, and so concerned, in fact, that they actually broke into his home.
Oh, damn.
To see if they could find in him. They thought maybe something like he was hurt or.
Yeah, like
something was.
Something happened in the house.
But neither Amos or his husky mix. Okay, this.
Oh, no. This name is really
Gnosis. It's Gnosis. Gnosis? You think the G is silent?
Yeah, I do.
Gnosis? Who the dog went everywhere with him. Neither of them were found in the home. Gnosis's food bowl was full of fresh dog food, and it looked like Amos had begun to hang pictures on the wall of his home. On the computer desk, there was a check from Amos's grandmother, who was planning to help him pay for his college tuition. But the weirdest thing of all was that the album Jurassic 5 was found to be spinning on a continuous loop on Amos's turntable, making music play throughout the home. And I guess it was like eerie music.
Of course it was.
So when they like break in, all they hear is just like Jurassic. Creepy.
Oh
my god,
that,
music.
Oh, that's so icky. I hate that.
I would hate that too. I would have bad vibes.
You could never listen to that soundtrack again.
No. Jurassic 5. I don't know if it's a, that's not a soundtrack. It's a band. It's a
Oh, I see.
The name of a band album.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Never mind.
Friends and family reported Amos missing, but they all felt police didn't take it seriously from the start. Margie recalls the house was disorganized, and police and people were able to walk in and out of the home, some even using the bathroom.
What?
Margie admits that her son was selling marijuana at the time, and that it is and this is why she believes police didn't take the case seriously. A few days after Amos had disappeared, his beloved dog Gnosis was found by his friends at a neighbor's house. The dog was okay and well taken care of, however, that seemed quite skittish. I don't know how or why it ended up at the neighbor's house.
Interesting.
I don't know if they found Gnosis or if Amos had dropped him off there and was right. Like, can you watch him for a few days? I don't know. No information about that, but.
That's really interesting.
At first, they were all very happy to have found the dog, but that very quickly turned into sadness because they knew that something bad had happened to Amos because he would never go anywhere without him. After a year and a half of him being missing, three nurses reported seeing a man who matched Amos's description at a music festival in Tennessee where a lot of his favorite bands were playing. The nurses said that he appeared to be disorientated and complained of memory problems. The tip was phoned into Margie, who contacted Fitchburg police. They then in turn contacted the Tennessee authorities, who canvassed the campgrounds and the music festival and distributed missing persons posters, but no other tips ever came in. Today, the case is cold, but the case is still considered to be open. Amos's mother believes her son is still alive somewhere and may be suffering from sort of memory loss and just doesn't know who he is or that he's even missing. So
that's really interesting.
There we go. There are my two stories for this week.
So what do you think about Amos? Do you think he'll be found alive, or do you think
I don't
know?
I hope, But how often do we ever hear this?
That's, yeah.
Have we ever?
There's that one.
In, like, Michigan, I think?
Yeah, that super crazy one where he, like, vanished for, like, 6 months or whatever. Yeah, and then just, like, reappeared. He
showed up. Yeah. But that's, like, literally the only one that I can think of off the top of my head where someone's, like, disappeared for a long amount of time and just
where it wasn't forgotten, a con.
Yeah. Forgotten who they were or just whatever, you know? So, I would love for this to be a happy ending, but it's been 20 years now.
Yeah, that would be wild.
Yeah. And also, that wouldn't explain why he, like, the dog wasn't with him.
Right.
So, that's just me, but.
Right.
All right, my sources are the maryvilleforum.com, newspressnow.com, wikipedia.org, projectcoldcase.org, and jasonmshepherd.com.
Our socials are wmadnesspodcast@gmail.com. That is also our Instagram, and we are Midwest Madness Podcast on Facebook.
Yes. Cool. All right, everybody. I don't have anything else to say.
Me either.
We hope you have a fabulous rest of your week, and we will talk to you all next Tuesday.
Bye.